Taking Stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.
This is Gavin McLaughlin with you on News Talk's Taking Stock. We're joined now by Arthur Sullivan, journalist at Deutsche Welle Business. Arthur, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Good to talk to you, Gavin.
It feels like Angela Merkel has been on the way out for ages. It's been talked about for so long. When is she actually going?
Well, Gavin, that's right. It has been going on for ages. It's been choreographed for 2 years at this stage, but she will be going for sure in September, because that's the point at which she will no longer be chancellor, because there are new elections. There are federal elections in Germany on the 26th of September, and she is not running. So whichever party emerges as the strongest at that election will more than likely have the new chancellor, and that will in all likelihood be her successor as CDU leader, Armin Laschet.
Tell us a bit about Mr. Laschet. What kind of person is he?
Well, even though he's going to be potentially the new chancellor, he's similar age to Merkel, so he's been in politics a long time. He's 60, and he's been a local politician, a state-level politician, that's regional here in Germany, a federal politician, and he's even been an MEP. So he has a lot of political experience, and for the last several years, he's been involved in state-level politics in North Rhine-Westphalia. That's the state he's from. That's the state over to the west of Germany, cities like Dortmund, Dusseldorf, Cologne. And he's been leading that state. He's been the state premier there for the last 4 or 5 years. So he's an experienced domestic politician. Quite a few question marks over his international experience, simply because he hasn't really held any major cabinet positions at the federal level. But in terms of policy and in terms of his type of politician he is, he would be seen as a very pro-EU, pro-European politician. He aligns himself quite closely to Emmanuel Macron. He's a fluent French speaker because his family are of Belgian Wallonian origins, and he's quite passionate about that aspect of his heritage. He talks a lot about closer EU integration, talks about the need for economic cohesion in terms of EU policy, also foreign policy. But one of the big things about him, Gavin, is that he would be seen as quite an amiable sort of a character, rarely in controversy, rarely gets into political rows, and that can fall down either way from really in terms of how he's viewed. So he, during the pandemic, when he was the state premier of North Rhine-Westphalia, he came in for a lot of fire over the way he dealt with the pandemic, and that he was seen sometimes as being too soft, too indecisive when certain regulations were perhaps needed to be brought in. And he was often contrasted unfavorably with his equivalent down in Bavaria, Markus Söder, who sort of cultivated and developed an image during the pandemic as a very strong, decisive leader.
Yeah, and Söder, Arthur, was this guy Laschet's big rival to become the head of the CDU. Now, Laschet won in sort of a hard fight, but I think I'm right in saying Söder actually performs better in public opinion polls.
Yeah, it's a little bit complicated, Gavin. So technically, they're not from the same party. So Söder is from the Bavarian equivalent of the CDU. So Bavaria is different in a lot of respects in Germany, and they have their own political wing of that party. So that's the reason Söder didn't win that contest, because he wasn't actually technically in it. Laschet became the leader of the CDU. But what has happened twice in German history is when their sister parties, so the CDU and then the Bavarian CSU, they always go with the same candidate for chancellor. And only twice have they ever gone with the Bavarian party's candidate. And there was a lot of talk this time that they would go with Söder because he was far more popular, as you said, far more popular in opinion polls, indeed far more popular with the rank and with several, or it's hard to say exactly, but a significant chunk of the rank and file of the CDU, that's Laschet's party. But in the end, the top brass of the CDU, they couldn't go against their own man, and they went with Laschet. And as a result, Söder is not the candidate. But certainly he is a more popular figure, or he was until recently a more popular figure nationwide, and would probably do better in a federal election.
Well, you mentioned the election. Is there any prospect, do you think, that the CDU could lose and Laschet would not be chancellor?
At this stage, it's a slim prospect. Now, a couple of months ago, an opinion poll came out. I think it was around April, May time, shortly after the Green Party selected their new leader, a 40-year-old woman called Annalena Baerbock. And her elevation as leader gave them a big bounce in the polls. And in this opinion poll, they were 8 percentage points ahead of the CDU as the top party. And that led to huge headlines. It was like, oh, God, the Greens could be the next party in charge. But since then, there's been a couple of minor enough controversies around Baerbock. She hasn't come across that well in interviews and stuff like that. And the big thing was there was a state election a while back, 2 months ago or so, in the East German state of Saxony-Anhalt, and the CDU absolutely crushed the Greens in that. They got 37%, the Greens got 6%, and that has completely taken the momentum out of the Greens' challenge. They were seen as sort of a credible front runner, and now they're not seen as that at all. So it would take a massive upset at this point for the Greens to outpoll the CDU in the federal election. And what that means is, more than likely at the moment, I mean, I think the CDU are about 10 percentage points ahead. More than likely, the makeup of German politics means the next government will probably be a CDU-Green coalition led by Laschet as the Chancellor.
You mentioned kind of his views on EU policy, and I want to dive into that a little bit further. I mean, it sounds, Arthur, from what you're suggesting, at EU level, if this guy does end up in charge, be pretty much continuity Merkel, is that right?
I think that's fair to say. I mean, he has styled himself as a sort of a continuity Merkel candidate, as a guy who's not going to rock the boat, who largely agrees. Although Merkel was never that massively enthusiastic about sort of deep European integration. I mean, she was certainly never against it. But Macron was always sort of pushed for, in his time working alongside Merkel, pushing for this ever closer union. Merkel would have rolled back against that slightly. Laschet seems to be probably more allied to the Macron view on things. So it will be interesting to see if he is chancellor, if he gets a strong mandate, the extent to which he wants to strengthen those ties. I mean, there's a lot of obviously scepticism all around the EU around closer integration. But if France and both the French leader and the German leader are backing it, well, then it could have a stronger chance of becoming a policy shift. But we'll have to wait and see about that. But he would be probably seen as more enthusiastic about that, Gavin, than Merkel had been historically.
Our guest here on News Talk is Arthur Sullivan, journalist at Deutsche Welle Business. What is Mr. Laschet like, Arthur, when it comes to domestic policy? Because it's been quite interesting over the last couple of years, and we've spoken about this before. There's been this whole debate about whether basically the government should loosen the purse strings and do a bit more fiscal stimulus than what has been the norm over the last number of decades.
Well, he styles himself as a classic liberal conservative, if you can sort of keep up with all those terms. I mean, someone who would be, largely not in favour of massive government intervention. And he has sort of spoken quite a lot about the fact that the pandemic stimulus, the EU's special $750 billion pandemic stimulus fund, should be a one-off, that it was a unique situation with the pandemic, and that common borrowing by the EU to be given in grants to member states should not happen again. He has said that. But then again, Gavin, he would say that. He's the leader of the CDU. There's not a hope that he could ever be elected as chancellor if he didn't say that as the leader of Germany's main conservative party. It's raison d'etre for them. So, of course, he said that. To the extent to which he believes it, I suppose, we can't be 100% sure. But I would say, largely speaking, he would correspond to that general orthodoxy. He talks a lot about the fact that once the pandemic is clearly in the rearview mirror, there has to be a return to the sort of debt brake that's in the German constitution, and that he doesn't want deeper EU monetary integration of the kind that we've seen as a result of the pandemic fund. So that would be probably his view on that.
Yeah.
But as I said, he has no choice but to go along with that as the position he's in.
Well, this seems to me to be sort of the real nub of the issue, because I think it's fair to say that Mr. Söder, who is his party rival, if you want to call him that, he would have a position much more Eurosceptic, I think it's fair to say. And that would seem to be more in tune with German public opinion.
Do you mean Eurosceptic in terms of the overall EU?
No, just in the sense that, you know, they're sceptical about further integration, this idea of common borrowing, about sort of
certainly
financing you know other EU member states who aren't doing as good a job at managing their economy.
Absolutely. That is very much clearly the majority German public opinion. It's the reason the CDU is now looking at, I think it's the five election victories in a row. Extraordinary stuff. And that's because they're the main conservative party. It's their orthodoxy. It is the view of German public opinion, for sure. And Söder would have been probably seen as even stronger in that regard than Laschet. But I don't think there's any prospect of Laschet deviating too far from the CDU's stated view on this, because he wouldn't last very long if he did.
How's the economy performing in general?
Well, obviously, like all European economies, although with the exception of Ireland, going by today's figures, this week's figures, most European economies last year suffered huge GDP contractions. Germany didn't do quite as badly as Italy, France, Spain, the UK, its equivalents, it had around a 5% contraction in GDP last year. It was largely insulated from some of the worst elements of the pandemic because of its strong exports and Chinese demand, which recovered much quicker, obviously. So, but still, the German economy has major challenges, and one of the biggest ones that it's going to face whenever the pandemic is over. Well, the two big ones, really, the obvious big one is the phase out from the point of view of climate change. The various industrial sectors, the car industry, the switch to electromobility, and how Germany is going to maintain employment while still meeting its very ambitious climate goals of being net zero by 2045. So that's the big challenge that I think Laschet or whoever succeeds Merkel is going to face in terms of the economy. And there's also the question of digitalization. Germany's lack of sort of meaningful digital strategy, its backwardness really in a lot of respects digitally, was really shown up during the pandemic, and particularly in terms of its vaccination rollout at the start. It was just so sluggish. There were so many technical problems. There was such a lack of online infrastructure for people to arrange appointments. And Laschet has spoken a lot about this, saying that Germany needs a decade of revolution in terms of the extent to which it becomes a technological, not even a power, just that it stops being a laggard, basically, that it just catches up with some of the most basic elements.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, Arthur, is this whole issue of inflation and what is the ECB going to do? You know, will it need to hike interest rates? What stimulus should be done or not done? What's the debate on that like in Germany at the moment? Because we know that Jens Weidmann, who's the German central bank president, he tends to favour higher interest rates, you know, all things being equal, and, you know, would argue that point regularly at the ECB Governing Council. And the other thing is that the German Constitutional Court produced real landmine a little while back when it said the ECB was acting contrary to the German Constitution. So I just feel that events in Germany could be quite influential in terms of what happens at the ECB.
Certainly, I think if the inflation figures, Gavin, continue to spiral dramatically, as I suppose they have showed signs of doing, there probably would be more pressure at the political level from Germany, perhaps to push intervention with the ECB. But at the same time, they're limited the extent to which they can obviously do that. In terms of that ruling you mentioned, in the end, that was quite significantly fudged when the court asked for the ECB to provide documents showing that they had adequately debated or considered certain factors in determining in terms of their borrowing program. And after basically a few files were sent to them, they said, well, okay, we're satisfied that this is legal. So I think ultimately it's unlikely that Germany's going to intervene too publicly. But as I said, if things spiral out of control, a little bit like the Federal Reserve in the US, obviously the ECB will come under pressure to act. And Germany would more than likely be at the vanguard of pushing that, given its general views on some of these economic matters, and as you said, Weidmann's role at the head of the Bundesbank.
Okay, we leave it there. Arthur Sullivan, journalist at Deutsche Welle Business, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Gavin.
Taking stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.